Welcome to another episode of the Mindful Mediums podcast. I'm your host, Samantha. I'm an evidential psychic medium, and I'm here to demystify all things pertaining to the spirit world and evidential mediumship. And if you have any questions, comments, or anything you'd like me to discuss on an episode of the podcast, make sure you drop it in the show notes below or in the comment section below, or you can email me directly. And I'd be happy to take it into consideration. For those who are wondering, I do have some fun offerings coming up in September. For those who want to strengthen their connection to your own intuition, I have Sitting for Spiritual Awareness, which is going to be a 6-week guided journey course to help you get familiar with your energy and teach you how and help you to build a sustainable practice that will help you start to open your awareness to the world around you, incorporate mindfulness in your life in a good way that will help benefit you and help bring that intuitive voice to the surface a little bit more. And I also have a workshop coming up as well called Mindfulness and Its Role in Intuition, and that's going to be happening the first week of September. So feel free to find all the information about that in the show notes below. So today we're going to be talking about the difference between intuition, psychism, and mediumship, and how they all intertwine, and really breaking down these buzzwords, because let's be honest, that's really what they are. And a couple of these buzzwords have been given a bit of a stigma, which is one of the reasons why I think there's a little bit of confusion when it comes to talking about each of these modalities in their own individual right, and very often they kind of get lumped in together or they are used interchangeably. So we're going to talk a little bit about what exactly an intuitive is, what a medium is, and what a psychic is, and what the differences and similarities are about all of them. And do this from a place of groundedness and exploration. So you may have heard the phrase that all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are mediums. And I think a lot of the time when people hear this, they think that it's either one or the other, or that one is somehow better than, or more than, or more valuable than. And the truth is that they're simply essentially the same modes of working. They're just different levels at which the psychic or the medium is working at, where they're receiving or perceiving information from. So we'll get into that a little bit later, but let's start talking about intuition. Because I think a lot of times you'll see people lean into the label of intuitive rather than calling themselves a psychic. Why is that? I personally think it has more to do with the stigma around the word psychic. Psychic has kind of been given, made a dirty word due to all of the high prevalence of scammers and things that are found in this industry, right? And I think it is important to note that just because someone isn't a scammer, we can just go ahead and agree that someone who hasn't maybe taken the time to develop themselves in their work as a psychic or hone their craft or treat it as something that is sacred can actually be just as damaging as a scammer. So this is where it's really important to make sure that you always vet anyone you're thinking of sitting with. Now we'll get into the differences between a psychic and a medium and those labels and what they all mean, but we're going to start by talking about the intuitive label. So I think that those who label themselves an intuitive, not only are they kind of replacing the word psychic, but I also feel like those who are calling themselves are intuitive are really speaking to the modality at which they are working with information that they perceive. Now, we all are born with intuition, just like we're all born with psychic senses. To me, when I think of intuitive or intuition, really what I'm thinking of is that's more self-centered. That's more centered on the experience of each and every one of us as an individual. And our intuition very often is something that over time tends to become harder and harder to hear as we go through life and we have different experiences. Or the way we interpret the world around us is colored by our past previous experiences. And it can be harder to hear the intuitive voice through the lens of the egoic mind that has taken over to give a sense of self to who we are and how we show up in the world. And that's part of what development is for. It's why we develop. We go through development to get to be able to hear our intuition more clearly, to get to be able to hear that still small voice within more and more clearly. Now, the psychic senses are more or less, I would say, facets of intuition, if you will. Just like we have our five physical senses, we also have our five psychic senses. And essentially, they are ways to sense things through our physical means, but we're sensing things that are coming from an unseen stimuli or a stimuli in a different dimension or frequency rather than just the physical world around us. So we'll talk a little bit about those psychic senses here in a moment, but let's just go back to intuition for a second. So how can you tell the difference between what is your intuition kind of going off versus what is your own egoic mind or like a trauma response, if you will? How can you tell the difference? Because it can be really hard sometimes. So one of the first things that I encourage anyone who wants to develop a deeper relationship with their intuition or their intuitive voice to do is to start to get comfortable with sitting with yourself. And this doesn't have to be sitting in meditation, cross-legged, chanting at the top of a mountain. This is literally just become inquisitive. Become the observer of your experience. Watch your habits, your patterns, your inner dialogue. Learn how that sounds on the day-to-day. Get really familiar with those things. Because the more you can be the observer of your experience and the things going on in your mind and your consciousness, you're more readily able to spot and notice when things drop in from the space of intuition or the space of, you know, spirit communication, etc. So that's always a good place to start. Now, what happens when we sit with ourselves? Very often, things start to come to the surface, right? Maybe some denser, heavier things, memories, thoughts, emotions that may be a little bit more uncomfortable to work through or process. But by them coming to the surface, we're given the opportunity to explore them with curiosity, unpack and untangle them, which then in turn will allow the intuitive voice when it drops in to speak a little bit more clearly, more loudly, and be able to be more readily noticed. So, differences between intuition versus a trauma response or an egoic response. Very often, I feel like these two things get lumped in together. Intuition, a lot of people will describe it as a soft knowing, a whisper. It comes in very neutral. It's more of a body-based experience. And no matter what the intuitive hit you're getting is about, it always comes in neutral. Even if it's about something that you would normally evoke a bit of a nervous or anxious response, it comes in very fleeting and it comes in very neutral and there's no anxiety attached to it. That's how you know it's intuition, right? Now, is it premonitory intuition? Meaning, like, is it an intuition about something coming up? Is it an intuition about someone around you? It's really just another piece of information for you to take in to help you move through the experience you're having. So remember that. It doesn't often seek validation. It's simply just a means of information, of you perceiving information. A trauma response, on the other hand, or an egoic response, is usually mind-based. It can cause rumination. It usually is accompanied out of a need for safety, or it comes from a place of our fears. It's coming from a place of wanting to keep us safe. Now, this is a little bit different than a gut reaction or like a gut feeling. I feel like the gut feeling is kind of the blending of the two. And I think a lot of times we have to be willing to look at when we are perhaps having this sort of what we think is an intuitive thought, but actually it's more falling into the realm of gut feeling. And how can you tell the difference? I say, is this coming out of a need for safety to keep you safe? And it's telling your body, like, we need to go into fight or flight because there's a danger here, like an actual true and present danger here? Or is this a conditioned response based on my prior experiences that I'm interpreting as danger, but it's not really dangerous? So it's asking ourselves those questions when it comes to these experiences that we have. So true intuition, soft, whisper, neutral, doesn't seek validation, comes in very, very neutral. and doesn't provoke anxiety, regardless of the content of it. Trauma responses, mind-based, rumination, usually accompanied with anxiety, usually seeking validation, usually very much coming from a place of needing to keep you safe or fear-based in nature. So I always tell people, keep a journal. Record your experiences. If you have an experience throughout the day where you feel like you got an intuitive hit and then you got some validation for that intuitive hit, write it down. How did it feel? How did it come in, etc.? A lot of people really focus on this idea of intuition, like I have to always listen to it. And the truth is, remember that intuition is merely just another piece of information for you to use in your decision-making process as you go along. I'm sure there have been plenty of times in your life where you have had an intuitive hit or download and you didn't act upon it, you didn't do anything with it, and nothing happened. Nothing bad happened. It was just information that you received and then later it was validated. And there's also probably been times in your life where you didn't listen to your intuition and things ended up panning out in a way that was unfavorable. Right? So, but we tend to remember the times that were unfavorable and we go, gosh, I should have listened to myself or I should have listened to my intuition. I actually had that happen very recently. For instance, this month, for whatever reason, when I was looking at my bookings, for some reason, the first 2 weeks of August were dead. I had absolutely no bookings. I was so confused. I had a bunch of bookings towards the end of the month. And I was just like, why? Why? I was looking in July going, something's going on here. And I had a little knowing of like, they're clearing my calendar for something. My guides are keeping my calendar clear for something. But then my trauma responses took over and said, oh my gosh, no, I shouldn't. I should be booked. I need to. So I moved a bunch of people up to the front of the calendar, filled in those 2 weeks that were really kind of dead. And what happened? I ended up having a family emergency that came up in August, right at the very first day of August, that I ended up having to reschedule everyone back to their original dates and even further out anyway. And that is an example of when you get that intuitive hit, but yet you take that piece of information and you just completely ignore it. So this is where I say trust in the reschedules and the timing and all of that, because legit, like it's true. So now let's move into talking a little bit about the psychic senses and the difference between a psychic and a medium, because in order to talk about this, we need to talk a little bit about how psychics and mediums perceive information. And this is taking it a step up after intuition. So just like we have our five physical senses, we also have our five psychic senses, or what people refer to as the clairs. These essentially are equivalent to our five physical senses and how we experience the physical world, but we have the same ability to sense the non-physical world. So number one that a lot of people hear is clairvoyance. What is clairvoyance? Clear seeing. Now there is two types of clairvoyance. There's objective clairvoyance and there's subjective clairvoyance. Objective clairvoyance is much more rare. This is when people actually see spirit or see things with their mind's eye in front of them in the physical space. It takes a lot of energy for a spirit communicator to manifest in that way. And it usually takes a deep level of receptivity or big level of power within the medium to have objective clairvoyant experiences, but they do happen. Very often they happen in mediums who have not yet realized that they are in fact mediums, that they have a very high predisposition for mediumship experiences and abilities. Because they're building a power around them, there's an energetic build that happens with those who are more predisposed or more naturally inclined to this work to have those bigger experiences just because of the energy they're giving off. And then you have subjective clairvoyance, which is what most mediums are referring to, and those who, as you develop, you tend to more or less work clairvoyantly subjectively because it takes a lot less energy. So that would be seeing things in your mind's eye. So for instance, right now, whatever you're doing, your eyes are probably open and you're looking at the world around you. But if I told you to envision an apple in your mind's eye, you absolutely could imagine an apple, what it looks like with your eyes open looking at the world. That is how subjective clairvoyance will come in and be perceived. Then you have clairaudience, which is clear hearing. There's also subjective and objective clairaudience. Once again, objective clairaudience, much more rare than subjective when it comes to this. So hearing thoughts, words, phrases in your own thoughts, voice in your mind. So for instance, if I were to ask you to conjure up the sound of the ocean waves right now, you could absolutely probably do that, or the rustling wind as I'm sitting outside and the wind is rustling. You can envision, or you would know what that sounds like, right? You could conjure that up to mind. Now, objectively, clairaudience would be hearing like disembodied voices, rappings, physical happenings outside of yourself in the space, right? So that's obviously much more rare, takes a lot of energy to manifest that kind of physical phenomena to actually occur in a space. Once again, usually happens with mediums who are either underdeveloped but have a strong propensity for mediumistic expression and abilities that they just haven't tapped into yet, because their power is just grown so big around them that those things can just manifest at will. But as you start to develop, if you were having objective experiences, very often those things tend to wax and wane over time, just because you start to discharge and use that energy in a manageable way, so those experiences don't happen nearly as frequently. Then we have clairsentience. Now, to me, clairsentience is the foundational clair, which is clear feeling. Now, this can be feeling of emotions, feeling of physical sensations throughout the body to give you information about the person you're blending with, whether they're in spirit or you are giving a psychic reading and blending soul to soul with someone directly in front of you or in the space around you. Clairsentience, for me, I like to think of it as the foundation for which the house of your psychic and mediumistic and intuitive work is built. All of the other clairs are facets of clairsentience, because your clairsentience is what truly gives you context for the other experiences that you have. So for instance, if I were to see a car in my mind's eye, I wouldn't know what that car means. Right? I could just say, I'm seeing a car. The thing that's going to give rise to the context and the story is my clairsentience. What do I feel about that car? What do I sense about that car? Do I get a sense of work when I see that car? Do I get a sense of passing when I look at that car? You know, that's going to come from your clairsentience. So clairsentience is the foundational clair, and I always encourage people to really work, if you're in development, work on strengthening your connection to your emotions, to what you feel and what you sense. And that is really going to build a very solid foundation as you move forward. So the other two clairs that, or three clairs actually, the three additional clairs that are also facets of clairsentience are claircognizance, which is clear knowing. That's when like those things just kind of boop, drop in your head and you don't know how you know, but you know, that kind of a thing. You're like, I don't know how I know that I needed to, you know, I didn't know how I know that that guy's name was Dave, but I just did, right? You know, like those kinds of things, that's claircognizance, right? It's kind of just like you get that drop in, don't know how it came in, but you just know it, but you do, and it's right. Then you have clairalience, which is clear smelling. Yes, phantom smells. I actually met a medium once who, that was her main way in which spirit would communicate with her, was through smells. She would smell certain things, and then her clairsentience would obviously, you know, kind of help her to unfold what the communicator was trying to say about the scent. Very, very fascinating. So clairalience, and this is actually one of the ways that I find that many people's loved ones will connect with them, is through scent. And it makes sense, because if you think about it, our olfactory nerve and the nose and scent is directly tied to memory. So of course, why wouldn't your loved one want to give you a phantom smell of something that would absolutely trigger a memory of them, or a memory of an experience you had with them, right? So smelling their perfume, their cologne, cigarette smoke if they were a smoker, you know, those sorts of things that very often will come through, we call that clairalience. Then there is clairgustance, which is even more rare, but it's a really cool experience, is when you get phantom tastes. Essentially, it's clear tasting. Like I said, some mediums, they'll taste a certain dish without ever having eaten it. And it's just a really fascinating other way that you can perceive information that can be triggered from that soul-to-soul blending that's taking place on whichever level. So that now brings me, now that we've explored the clairs, now it comes down to the utilization of the clairs. So coming back to that phrase, all mediums are psychics, but not all psychics are mediums. What we really are saying is that mediums and psychics are using the clairs to perceive information about the unseen world around them. When we work on the psychic level, though, really what we're talking about, we're using the clairs as they pertain to tell us information and give us and it's being triggered through stimuli of things that are existing in the physical, in the here, in the now, in this physical space, right? The person in front of you, it's usually connected to something that's living. So when we work on the psychic level, there's still a soul to soul blending that's happening between the psychic and the sitter. But the difference is that soul to soul blending is happening on a much more dense frequency because of the fact that you're blending with a soul that's still in a body, right? So the stimulus of the information that's being triggered is coming from the physical. It's coming from the cyclical. It's coming from where we're at. It could be tuning into the energy of a space you're in. It could be tuning into the energy of the person who's sitting in front of you, the trees, the plants, the animals, etc. That is all working on the psychic level, but it's all still soul to soul blending that's happening. It's just the stimuli that's triggering the clairvoyance, triggering the clairsentience, is coming from the physical level. When we talk about the mediumistic level now, there's a soul-to-soul blending that's happening, but that soul-to-soul blending is happening with a soul that is no longer in a body. And as that soul-to-soul blending occurs, the same senses are being utilized and triggered through the stimulus of that soul-to-soul blending to give information and perceive information about a discarnate communicator. And that's really the difference. So think of it this way. Think of a ceiling fan and the way the blades spin. When you look at a ceiling fan and you see the blades spin, very often you can still see the blades. It doesn't go super fast to where you can't see the blades. So that's like the psychic level. The mediumistic level, however, when we perceive information on the mediumistic level, it's like a helicopter, the blades of a helicopter. You know how sometimes the blades of a helicopter are going so fast that if you wanted to see them, you'd actually have to really concentrate. It's that similar way. You have to concentrate a little more. It takes a little bit more energy, in my opinion, to connect with a communicator in the spirit world because they are free from the confines of this physical world. So essentially, that is the difference between a psychic and a medium, or you can have a psychic medium. Usually, all mediums are psychic because they're using their psychic senses, but not all psychics are mediums. And it doesn't mean they can't be. It doesn't mean they can't blend with a disincarnate person. Some just choose not to move their awareness to that space because for myself, and I know for many other psychics, it merely is intention in where we put our awareness when we start to work, when we open up, when we start to perceive and allow stimuli to be impressed upon us, we can intentionally move our awareness to which level we feel drawn to work on when it comes to working with our clients. So it really is a level of intention, and one is not better or inherently better than the other. I truly believe that both have their place and they both have equal value. A lot of people ask me, what's the point of a psychic reading then? Right? We know that the point of a mediumship reading is to connect with a loved one, to bring evidence forward that they're still there, that they're still with you, and validate their continued existence. So what is the point of a psychic reading? Well, a lot of people think it's to tell the future, but I actually disagree because I believe that the future is not set in stone. I don't believe it's fluid. I think that the psychic level and working on the psychic level is really great when you want to gain some fresh perspective on your lived experience and what you're going through. see some blind spots, maybe look at things from a bird's eye view. Because as a psychic, really what we do is we're telling your story back to you. And we may be telling aspects of your story or aspects of your life that you maybe haven't considered, or things that maybe you want to look at to help you glean patterns and information about your life and your lived experience to help you navigate where you're headed, or to validate the decisions and experiences that you have been thinking of having or are currently working towards. That's really the value of the psychic level. We're dealing with matters of the living, of the here and the now, and the general trajectory of where things may be headed, but it's really meant to help gain insight, glean insight, and look at things from a fresh perspective. So that's really the intention, in my opinion, of how I work on the psychic level and how I utilize my psychic work to provide that validation for those who maybe are seeking it. Because sometimes we just need someone else to validate for us, yeah, you have the potential to do this. Or no, maybe you should actually take a step back because of X, Y, and Z patterns that have played out in the past, right? And that's really the difference between the psychic and the mediumistic level. And I even find that loved ones, when they come through in psychic readings and one-on-one readings, very often they come forward with evidence and information and validation that actually directly pertains and parallels to what you're going through in your life. So something that my mentor said to me, and that his mentor said to him, and his mentor said to him, was, you know, don't ever think you're above one level or the other. Because I remember, and I went through this too at one point, where I thought, I'm not going to do psychic readings. That's not for me. Because I had my own internalized bias about psychic, the word psychic, and destigmatizing that word. It had become almost like a dirty word. And I think that for whatever reason, that was not helpful. So, you know, to lean more into one over the other, if you are in the stages of development, I think is something to really consider when it comes to this work. Remember that, who are we to say that the loss of a job or a relationship or of a home or of a, a financial breakdown is any less great than the loss of a loved one? We really aren't to say. There's beauty to be held and there's benefit in both. And if I'm being completely honest, I do find that I would say 60 to 70% of my readings are on the psychic level, because that's where the need lies for so many people. Because we need help with our living life. We need to be empowered in our living life. And even our loved ones, like I said, when they come forward, they bring forward evidence and validation of their lived experience that parallels the stories that we are currently engaging in our own. So this is where I say the dead teach us so much and can offer us so much guidance when it comes to living our lives. So that's really the difference between a psychic and a medium. Now, when it comes to, you know, working with a psychic or a medium, very often, I know I do this, and I know a lot of mediums will do this, will give the offer for direction in a reading. Sometimes we may ask what area of life you want to focus on if we're working on the psychic level, if you want to work on the psychic level, if you want to connect to loved ones, etc. I tend to offer both approaches, very direct. When it comes to working together, you know, if you want to direct the session in a certain way so that we make sure we hit certain things, or if you want to just open it up and see where I feel drawn to work, then we work that way. But usually the need presents itself. And this is where I always tell people, if you're going into a psychic reading, let go of any expectation of what will come through. Understand that the need will present itself, and sometimes what we need and what we want are two different things. So keep an open mind when it comes to that. And also remember, as I've said this before, that not every medium and psychic is going to be right for every person. Mediumship psychism is all limited by the breadth of the awareness of the medium. And this is why some of the greatest psychics and mediums have had a lot of life experience. They're up there in age because they've lived their lives. They have a lot of things to be triggered and to draw from in their life. And that's something to consider as well when it comes to sitting with a medium. And this is where development comes in. Development isn't just for helping you learn the mechanics, but it's also to help you open your awareness to the possibilities and the different things and the different ways in which things can be triggered from within you that come from either the psychic level or the mediumistic level. And that's something to consider. So I always tell people, you know, any good medium is going to have a refer, refund, or reschedule policy. I know I have one for myself. So in the event that you sit down and nothing happens or I'm not able to connect, I refund your money. That's totally fine. Or we can reschedule. I may just not be the right medium, or I may be having an off day. And that's true for any psychic or medium. And any psychic or medium that you're working with that's credible and works in integrity is definitely going to have some sort of policy in place, some safeguards in place for when these things happen. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, we're human. So with that being said, I hope that this episode answered some questions that you may have had about the difference between an intuitive, psychic, and a medium, the different levels at which, you know, we work on how we perceive information, a little bit of the mechanics. And you're probably telling yourself, if you're not a developing medium, why would you find this interesting? And for me, I think it's important to demystify this work as much as possible, which will help to destigmatize this work and also educate the general public about this work. So if you're thinking of going to sit with someone, you kind of have a baseline understanding of how we are working. Because I think once you are able to understand, then you'll get more out of the experience. So I like to share these things, these little tidbits of knowledge about the work I do, and really just demystify it and not gatekeep it for people, because we all have it to some degree. We all have an ability to connect. And through learning about these things, learning the mechanics, you're better able to connect with your own intuition for yourself and empower yourself, and also build those connections for yourself and other people in the world and your loved ones in the spirit world. So with that being said, that concludes this episode. I want to say thank you once again for being here at my website. And of course, I look forward to connecting with you if and when our paths cross. And until next time, stay grounded.